Katia has invited her younger brother, Amar, to her wedding, and she's worried that he won't come, and is just as worried about what will happen if he does come. Amar has been estranged from their family for several years, and the reasons for his absence unfold throughout A Place for Us, a new novel by Fatema Farhi Mirza. The book has received incredible attention for her first novel. Sarah Jessica Parker has selected it to launch her new publishing imprint SJP for Hogarth, a division of Penguin Random House. A Place for Us is getting great critical reviews, and I'm pleased it brings my friend Fatema Farhi Mirza to our show today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I think before we get into the substance of the book, it's such a fascinating story in terms of how you wrote the book, right? This project is the fruition of, is it 10 years worth of writing? 8 years?
No, I started at 7 almost 8 years ago.
Wow. Well, and you started the novel during your freshman year of college. So how did you get from there to here, and why did it take so long?
Why did it take so long to write it? You sound like my dad.
Are you saying I'm old?
No. Because every year my dad would tell me, like, Fatema, can't you just finish it now? By now I would have written 7 novels.
Would he have written 7 novels?
No.
Okay, there you go.
So I started the novel when I was 18, a few months after I had moved away from my home. And it was the first time that I had some distance. And I could look back on, you know, what was it like growing up in the family and faith and community that I grew up in. And I was studying pre-med at the time, and I was taking creative writing classes just as a way to maintain my sanity and not be absolutely miserable as I was in chemistry. And in one of my creative writing classes, it was with Charmaine Craig. She's the author of Miss Burma. I started writing, this novel. And, when it occurred to me that this was the story that I was writing and also how much I cared about them, I told myself that I would give myself up to 10 years to complete it, but luckily it did not take that long.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
The opening scene takes place at Hathi's wedding, and from there the narrative goes back to the parents' courtship in India, as well as going forward many years into the future. Why did you choose to tell your story going back and forth in time, and were you thinking about a more linear approach, or was this always the plan?
I don't think there was a plan. What I knew was that the family would arrive at a moment where at Hathia's wedding, they're about to take the photograph and the family's looking out and seeing, will Amar make it? And that was the moment that I first became curious about. And I wondered what brought that family to that place. And the whole novel was written as a way to figure out an answer to that question. And that's why I returned to moments in the past. And sometimes that took me to when Hathi was 5, or when Layla was 26, or when Amar himself was a teenager. And slowly through those past scenes, a picture emerges that answers why he left and what it means that he's back. And then you're back at the wedding.
I mean, the novel is divided into 4 parts. And
yes.
You know, you include, you know, various voices of the family. It's not just one voice. Why did you choose to write it that way?
So one of my goals was to give a full picture of what it meant for this family to be, you know, alive on Earth, you know, what their story was. And I knew I wanted to include the parents' perspective because I didn't want to give an imbalanced look at what the story was. Because for Hathia, it is about, you know, what is it like to be the daughter of immigrants? What is it like to navigate what you want for your own life versus what your family wants for you? For Amar, it's kind of about how, you know, he's grown up in this family that is Muslim and he feels outside of the faith. So that's a little bit his own struggle. But I didn't want the focus to be just their struggle. I wanted to show also how difficult and, you know, beautiful it is for the parents. What is it like for them to come here and try to raise their children with the values that are so dear to them?
I mean, the novel has, because it has the different points of view that are sometimes in conflict with one another, was that difficult for you to balance as an author?
What do you mean?
Well, because you don't have all 4 points of view, and you're trying to write from a point of view that's more closely yours, mm-hmm. and then you're trying to reach outside of yourself, and that's hard enough to do with one character,
mm-hmm.
but to have 3 or 4 other characters that are also present, mm-hmm. I mean, did you have to stop and then write just one perspective? Could you write multiple perspectives at the same time? How hard was that?
I was working through multiple perspectives at the same time.
Right.
And it was easier to imagine, you know, why is Hadi upset when she wants to go to a party and her father says no? Or why is Amar sneaking out in the middle of the night? Those were easier to imagine for me than some of the logic that the parents used to arrive at their decision making. But those were the moments where I felt like I was growing the most, or that were exercising my imagination the most, because I really did want to imagine what is it like for the parents. And so they were difficult, especially because in life I might not have agreed with them. Like if I met Rafiq or Layla, I might not agree with them right away. But when I did really try to see it through their eyes, when I did try to really imagine what it's like to be them, it gave me a fuller sense of what are the pressures that this family is facing, and also how difficult it is for them to engage with each other and have their own personal dreams that can't really quite align always.
Once again, I'm speaking with Fathima Farhim Mirza, who is discussing her debut novel, A Place for Us. As a young Muslim American woman, I can only imagine the kinds of questions you've been getting while promoting this book.
Mm.
And I can imagine them, but I'd like to ask you, what questions do you seem like you get the most, or I should say, what questions are you maybe tired of answering?
Mm. So three come to mind. The first two are tied. So two questions I'm hearing are questions about hijab or arranged marriage. Both are valid because that comes up in the book and it's come up in my own life. And it's not so much that the question exists that causes me to pause, so much as the angle that they're asked through or arrived at. The question might be something like, how did you escape arranged marriage? And it's that word use, right? Escape, that makes me, that really does bother me in some way, because it's a question that automatically is born from a judgment instead of a question that is born from a curiosity and a desire to understand.
It's the assumption of oppression right off the bat.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, on one hand, it's true. That's not the path that I chose. But it's also true that it is a path that so many people choose with intention and with excitement. And that is the you know, the choice that makes the most sense for them. And so I just feel like instead of approaching each other through these limited lenses to just like listen to what another's, you know, story might be, which is why fiction to me is so, I don't know, exciting, because it really does ask the reader to pause and maybe put aside the, what's it called, like the assumptions or preconceived notions that you might have about a person that's not like you, and just kind of walk for a little while in their shoes and ask them, like, what is it actually like to be you?
Right. What are the other questions that sometimes you...
So one that I'm getting is, you know, this is about a Muslim family, but really it's about a family. And that makes me laugh because, of
like,
course it's about a
Muslims
family.
Muslims are people too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course it's about a family. And to me, you know, the fact that Hadia is a Muslim woman, it's inextricable from the way that she moves through the world. But at the same time, that's not the focus through which I wanted to write about her life. To me, it always felt like, how do I say this? It's sometimes when you're, I feel like sometimes with minority characters, the expected narrative is supposed to be, or the narrative that's expected of them is, how does this character relate to their identity as a minority?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, that was not, you know, I just wanted to give Hadi the freedom to ask her, like, what is the narrative for you? And sometimes that does come up, but other times it's the fact that she's worried about her younger brother, or the fact that she's trying to, you know, do well in her exams. And I just wanted to approach her as she would want to be approached, and not out of this like lens that the world might be trying to view her through.
Right, like when she's walking around her day, or when you're walking around during your day, you're not thinking, I'm a Muslim American woman. I'm a Muslim American woman. That doesn't constantly.
Right.
It's usually when others put that lens on you, ironically, even during interviews. Like,
yes, yeah.
That's when it comes up.
And that does come up in the novel too. For example, Layla wears hijab, when she's in the scene, like, she's never conscious of it because it is so natural to her, because that's who she is. But the moments that it does come up, for example, is when she's recalling, you know, encountering somebody who automatically might assume that she doesn't speak English, and they'll speak through her to her through Hadia, right. And that is a moment where she becomes aware, like, oh, they've already formed this assumption about me and my intelligence or my capability of, you know. But whereas we're in Layla's mind and we see how far that is from the truth and how that's actually not how she moves through the world in her own mind.
I mean, I get frustrated as a performer myself with being asked the question, you know, what do you want Americans or other people to know about your culture or about being Indian? And it's always, for me, it's very frustrating. Like, I didn't write this mm-hmm. for you to understand some deeper cultural elements. I wrote this for me to be able to tell you a story I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have those kinds of questions as well? Like, you know, what did you want mm-hmm. people to learn about Muslims?
Right. Yes. And, you know, with the novel, the form of the novel doesn't try to give any lessons or... the novel's aim is to invite readers in to this family's life, and not only their life, but also their innermost thoughts and their innermost hopes and their dreams, and to really, and so it, if people, you know, learn something from that encounter, then that's great. But my aim, my highest aim, was just to show, like, this is what it was like to be these people, and this is their particular story, and it happens to be about their son and their daughter. And
yeah, well, that makes complete sense. I mean, how much did you draw from your own life in writing this, or was that more of a starting point, and then did details change, and then you, mm-hmm. you take license? But how much of it was from that personal place and your own experiences?
So the way that I've thought about it is, the novel is not autobiographical in that the plot points that happened, the incidents in the novel, they belong to these characters. And because they belong to the characters then react to them throughout the story. And so it really becomes about them. But what's really familiar to me is... you know, the details are very familiar, or the way that Urdu, the language Urdu, functions in their family, that's so familiar, or the questions that the characters are trying to figure out, those are questions that, you know, I spent my whole life trying to figure out, that I didn't really know what to do with those questions until I started writing them through these characters. But what happens belongs to this family.
Where did you grow up? What was your childhood like?
I grew up in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I have three younger brothers, and a lot of my childhood was spent playing with them, and I come from a very close-knit extended family and community. My family's practicing Muslim. All of this really informed the texture of my days growing up, and I think, you know, inevitably has also informed the novel.
Was reading and writing a big part of growing up? Was that always part of your life, something encouraged by family?
Yeah, it was a huge part of my life. I've always been a writer. The first thing I ever wrote was when I was six. I wrote a memoir that was called My Memories. And it's funny when I look over it, because...
How old were you?
I was six. And it's about a memory of my brother being born. And it's about my dada, like, taking me out to pick plums in our backyard. And it is so eerie when I look at it, because I've been trying to write this novel my whole life in different ways, and the imagery that is in that little memoir book that's like three pages long is also the imagery that has returned to me, you know, through this novel, like trying to figure out, what are these character central memories, and what are the moments that, you know, changed their life forever.
Before we go, I mean, the name of the book is A Place for Us. What is the meaning of the title? What does it mean to you?
So the title came about in this one scene where the children are very young. Amar is five, and Amar asks to go on a picnic, actually. And Hadia says, I want there to be tangerines. And Huda says, I want there to be lemonade. And Amar says, I want there to be a river. And
I think we have
to. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It'll be a surprise.
Yeah, thank you, Hari.
Of course. Thank you, Fatima. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking with Fatima Farin Mirza, discussing her debut novel, A Place for Us. Tomorrow, June 13th at 7 p.m., Fatima Farin Mirza will be in conversation with Sarah Jessica Parker at the Union Square Barnes & Noble. That's 33 East 17th Street. For more info, visit our show page, wnyc.org/midday.